And I'm broadcasting today from KCUR in Kansas City, where we've been spending the past few days looking at some of the big stories that are playing out here on the border of Kansas and Missouri. And joining us now are two journalists who've been following the news here for years, Kyle Palmer of KCUR. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, good morning.
And Mary Sanchez of the Kansas City Star. Mary, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And the big story today on your newspaper's website is that Missouri Governor Eric Greitens gave a recent speech to Republicans in Iowa. There is speculation that this first-term governor is using his job as a launching pad for a White House bid. I can't believe we're already talking about the next White House bids, but there we are. Should the rest of the country get ready to learn more about Eric Greitens?
I would say yes and no. No, because he has a job here that he needs to be doing, and he needs to be getting to attending to the business of the state of Missouri. It is true, however, that he is probably seeing this as a launching pad to national office. It is the wrong thing for him to do, I would say, as a columnist and member of the Kansas Star editorial board. Again, he needs to prove himself here. Eric Greitens did not have a political history before he became our governor.
But he's already done some things since he's gotten in office, including right to work in Missouri, right?
He has done some things. And actually, I would give him some credit that one of the things that he's looking at is the previous governor, Jay Nixon, did not fill a lot of board positions. And one of them that's incredibly important to Kansas City is the positions of the police board. The governance of our police board is not locally governed. The governor gets to do those appointments, and the past governor had let some of those go lapse. And now we're in a position where this new governor was able to basically stack the board. It's a huge issue.
Now, on the other side of the border, in Kansas, we've been here talking about the tax cuts that Governor Brownback put into effect that put a huge hole in the Kansas budget over the past few years. Right now, as you know, Washington is debating a plan that looks a lot like the one in Kansas. Kyle, how are people here feeling about the idea of tax cuts at the federal level, given what happened?
Well, I think if you look back at the 2016 election results nationally compared to Kansas, while much of the nation, you could argue, went more right, went more red, Kansas, which has been a red state for a long time, went a little bit more purple, went a little bit more to the left end of the spectrum. They had a sweeping change in the state legislature. A lot of new lawmakers were voted in, and a lot of previously conservative Brownback allies were voted out. And a big part of that was because of the tax cuts. And I think a lot of Kansans' dissatisfaction with the tax cuts, which were passed in 2012, the governor, Brownback, touted it at the time as, you know, kind of the great conservative social experiment that was finally being allowed to play out at a state level. And as you mentioned, the budget deficit. Now, Brownback and his allies will argue that's because of a lot of other variety of factors. You know, natural resource production in the state has gone down. Other businesses have gone down. The oil industry has suffered through a hard time. But I think the way the voters voted in 2016 is a sign that Kansas and Kansans might be tired of the tax cuts.
Well, and one of the consequences of the tax cuts was that there has been a cut in the prison system budget in Kansas, and you've been reporting on riots that have taken place in the prisons.
Well, the DOC, the problems within the DOC and the issues that they're facing, I think, are becoming more and more paramount as the weeks go by. Yes, there have been a number of riots at prisons across the state. The prisons are overcrowded. The DOC has affected a policy of once a riot happens, taking busloads of prisoners and driving them to another prison. And that is their way to kind of solve the problem, or at least counteract the problem, get prisoners in a different space, get them out of the prison where they might have started problems or been dissatisfied before. And that, in turn, I think a lot of criminologists say, is actually contributing to the problem because you're having you're having uncertainty among the prison population, and they're getting they don't have a good handle of the rules of the prison that they're getting sent into. So it is a very big mess.
Mary, how is the opioid crisis playing out here on both sides of the border?
You know, exactly the same way as it is nationally. It's a huge. I mean, it is an epidemic. It's you know, something that is cutting into demographics that people, quite honestly, don't always think about as having problems with drugs. You think of it as a street illegal drug thing. But the prescription drug, it's a crisis, and it has impacted so many families at so many levels, just as people struggle and struggle to get off these drugs. And the problem is, I think we're only at the very, very beginning of understanding how we got here. And it has so much to do with pharmaceutical industries. It has a lot to do with the benefit management firms that set up pricing. It has to do with doctors. It has to do with attitudes about pain in U.S. society and our willingness to take drugs.
Is it going to be an issue that people here vote on, do you think, in the next election, that it's important enough that it will be something that they vote on?
I think only if you saw a politician take just a crazy stand on it. And thankfully, most of them, you mentioned Greitens. Greitens had a family member who died of an overdose. So he has spoken on that issue. However, Missouri was the last one to get management.
The prescription drug monitoring database. I mean, 49 other states had a similar program where you're able to kind of check up on – it's supposed to tamp down on so-called doctor shopping where you check up on who gives prescriptions and how many doctors the patients are going around to. And Missouri was the last state to do that. Barely did so.
The way they enacted it, it basically kind of goes after the doctors more than it allows the doctors to help a patient and steer them towards some sort of aid.
How are people here feeling about President Trump right now?
Depends on who you ask. I mean, we definitely have, Kansas City is like a lot of areas. You'll have a lot of rural input, and there becomes this divide between an urban and a rural tone and voice. I think a lot of people in communities, do feel left behind. And so some of the messages that he said while campaigning fit for what some people felt for their own economic needs. However, at this point, just the egregious things that fly out of his mouth and out of his fingers into Twitter, to the inappropriateness of attacking people like John McCain, that has just rubbed people the wrong way. I mean, it's just... the Midwest is a fairly polite society,
right?
And it's just wrong.
Yeah, I think an interesting proxy might be next year when you see Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill challenged by a man who, by all intents and purposes, seems to be a fairly popular young up-and-coming Republican politician, the state attorney general in Missouri, Josh Hawley. He just announced his campaign after kind of being pressured to enter the race. It's interesting the dance that Hawley's already doing, trying to, I think, catch the Trump wave while at the same time not be identified too closely with some of the things that Mary said that President Trump is saying. And a lot of people see Senator McCaskill as extremely vulnerable next year.
I just want to ask each of you one more thing, and we just have about a minute left here, but what's the one story in Kansas City that people outside Kansas and Missouri are not paying enough attention to? Start with you, Mary.
Well, we already touched on it a little bit, and it just gets into criminal justice reforms. I mean, I just think it's one of these issues that we have trouble writing on. People don't want to pay attention, but the problems that are going on within our criminal justice system, the pipelines of throwing people in, not really helping them, recidivism, it just cannot continue. Mental health crisis within these prison populations is a large part of what's going on.
Yeah, and I would echo that in a different vein. I think KCUR, I'll give a shout out to our own reporter, Dan Margulies, who's done a lot of great reporting about the overburdened public defender system in the state of Missouri. At least here in the Kansas City office, on average, public defenders have 80 to 100 cases per week. Statewide, that average is up around 200 cases per public defender, and they're not able to serve the clients, and they've actually started to resist and say, we're not taking any more clients, which the Missouri Supreme Court says is actually unconstitutional. You have to take anyone who walks through your door, and the public defenders are starting to fight back and say, we can't serve the people that we're supposed to serve with all the cases that we have.
We got through all of those topics, and we never even talked about barbecue. But don't worry, we're going to do that tomorrow. KCUR's Kyle Palmer and the Kansas City Star's Mary Sanchez. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we saw the sad news today that we lost the great Fats Domino, who died in New Orleans at the age of 89. We're going to be hearing a lot of his songs over the next few days as we remember him. But since we are here in Kansas City, we wanted to close out this segment with this one.
I'm going to Kansas City.